A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Your Book, the podcast for literary nosy parkers. I'm your book inspector, Daisy Buchanan, and we're back with a special episode to celebrate the paperback publication of my novel Limelight, a comedy about a sister's sexuality, complicated secrets and self-described feminist icons. Last summer, we launched Limelight with a competition. If you pre-ordered the hardback, you could win the chance to be a guest star on Your Booked and come join me for a chat about the books you love to read. Huge congratulations to our winner, writer, designer and occasional bookseller, Kezia Venner. I had such a lovely time with Kezia. We bonded over our passion for romance, we talked about the enormous part books played in her childhood, and we discussed the magic of bookshops themselves. When we take a break, I'll be telling you a little bit more about Limelight. For now, I hope you enjoy this conversation with Kezia. I'd love to start by asking you about cozy winter reading. We're recording at a time of the year when it is cold and we all need cheering up. Do you have any go-to books that you love to read that bring you a bit of comfort and joy?
I never reread, so I would always, I'm always on the lookout for new books. Like, my favourite thing to do is to go into the debut section of a bookshop and try and find something that rings true to me, and I love a romance novel, so if I want something comforting and nice to curl up on the sofa with, it would usually be something romantic. But recently I've been sort of branching out a little bit. I read The Secret History recently for a book club, and it's not so cozy, but it's very cold, which has been quite good start to the new year, which is, yeah, I've really enjoyed that one.
Oh, that's such an immersive book, isn't
very.
It? I love the universe of the campus, and I know when I read it, it somehow wasn't anything like what I was expecting.
Yes.
And then I've given it to people who have been a little bit kind, I think people expect it to be quite dry, but it's so compulsive and propulsive.
Yeah, and I just couldn't stop. I suggested it for this book club, and the people in it are like, what? This was not what I was expecting at all. Comparing it to Saltburn, I like vibes at the moment as well.
Oh, yeah. I love that. You mentioned romance, and I'm curious about the kind of, you know, the TikTok tropes, and if you have a kind of story you love, if it's like enemies to lovers, is the only one I could think of off the top of my head, but if there's a kind of any description of a story where you think, yes, I would love that.
Yes. Well, I try... and I mean, I definitely don't go for just tropes, although I have definitely enjoyed an enemies to lovers before. I really like a story where it's about the woman's journey through something, and romance is a big part of it. Like, I don't think I would ever really fully enjoy a book if it didn't have an ounce of romance, something in it that I can root for, a kind of beginning of a love story, whether it ends it good or bad. It's like something there that I just love, the relationships that you can read about.
Are you an Emily Henry fan?
Oh yeah, I've got some Emily Henry up here. I do love an Emily Henry.
I spotted a few.
Yes.
Do you have a favourite one of hers?
I think actually her most recent, Happy Place. Before that I did love Beach Read, but I think Happy Place sort of trumped it once that came out.
I loved Happy Place. I thought it was so fun. And again, it is just rooting so hard for them to be together. And I think I love the friendship that she draws as well, that her books feel so sort of fully realised and full dimensional. But it's a love story, and it's escapist and fun and joyous, but it's also a whole universe.
Yes.
that you feel as though any of those characters could kind of have their own story.
Yes, yeah, that's definitely the best way to... what I love about some romance novels, the best one I've read recently would, I guess, be classed as a literary romance, which was Talking at Night. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah, I think my best read of 2023, I absolutely adored it. And that as a love story is gut-wrenching and heartbreaking, but also so incredibly real. And that's what I really love about a good romance novel, is when it feels real. I don't like fake, like this could never happen, almost pushing some boundaries or a very set-up situation. I like something that you are in these characters' head, experiencing it in a very real way and experiencing their emotions and how that changes as their relationship starts to build and you see their flaws and you see what's good about them and how they then learn to love each other's flaws.
Do you have any literary crushes? Are there any book characters where part of the fun is wanting to be in the romance?
Yes, I mean, too many, I think so many. I loved Will in Talking at Night. I really loved him. He's totally not someone that I would love in real life, but in the book he was very emotionally intelligent in a very quiet way. He took a long time to sort of understand himself, but it was that I fell in love with, of him beginning to understand himself on the inside. There were other characters, maybe not crushes, but characters I just absolutely fell in love with. And I mean, there was another book on heartbreak that I love. I love a book on heartbreak. I love to cry during a book. This one I picked up thinking it was a novel, because I do very almost 100% only read novels, but picked this one up. It was actually shelved wrong in a Waterstones, and began reading it, and then 100 pages in realized that the author had the same name as the main character, and I thought, oh, maybe this is actually non-fiction. And that novel, like, I absolutely fell in love with the man she was heartbroken not to have. And it was called Notes on Heartbreak by Annie Lord. And I just think it's one of the most beautiful explorations of love and heartbreak I've ever read.
I mean, I think that's so powerful, isn't it? I think we want our stories to feel real, but also when something is true, but it is as absorbing and addictive to read as a novel, I think that's a real sign of brilliant writing.
Yes.
I'd love to hear about your relationship with books growing up and those very, very first books that really spoke to you, and kind of what your reading journey has been like.
I mean, books genuinely changed my life and are huge contributors to everything I do, almost. And it really, I was a late bloomer to books. I didn't really read as a child. I was read to, always read to, and my parents are definitely people that wanted to make sure that we always had a book to read. But for me, on an individual level, and picking up a book to go to bed with, if it was more than a centimetre wide, I would not look at it. But then Twilight came out, and although Twilight is, I mean, it's obviously a global phenomenon, it genuinely changed everything about me. I read that book and absolutely adored it, and from then read all four of them in 2 weeks, which was the most amount of words I'd ever consumed. And then through that, I discovered music, I discovered drawing, I used to draw all the characters, I discovered the beauty of words and stories, and I just couldn't stay out of Waterstones. Had to be in there every weekend, getting a 3 for 2, and I'd read the 3 for 2 in the week, and then I'd go back again. So much so that it was my first job was in a Waterstones, because, I mean, they recognised me, they knew.
Oh, so you were a bookseller?
Yes. I was a Saturday girl for, I think, three to four years, always came back for Christmases, and did like a bigger stint, but it was amazing to be a bookseller and to be around people that love books and who come in. And I mean, they expect you to have read the whole shop. And it's like, I haven't read the whole shop. And
can you remember what you'd recommend to people? And the question I always have for booksellers is it like working in a record shop when someone hums something off key? Yeah. Do you have that people describing something in a vague way and you've got to figure out what it is?
Absolutely. It's always, yeah, it was like, it's a blue book with white writing or something like that. And you've got to try and figure out what it is. But I was, at the beginning, I was mainly on the sort of front desk, where usually that's where people bought general fiction, because non-fiction was upstairs, children YA at the back. But I was a teenager at the time, so I was purely reading YA and was desperate to be in that section. So I'd kind of hang around that section if I ever got to be around the shop floor. And my go-to recommendation was anything by Patrick Ness. I absolutely adore him. Every single book I've read of his, I think, is brilliant. I think he does so much for young people in his work and in his writing and just in who he is as a person. I've met him several times and it's always cemented that. But yeah, when I was a bookseller, it was always, do you want to read something cool and exciting? And it was always Patrick Ness's The Knife of Never Letting Go, this amazing dystopia that totally immersive, one of the best endings I've ever read to that trilogy. And I will always have a love for those books, for sure.
So it sounds like you love the series. I'd love to hear a bit more as well about how Twilight found you. Was it sort of through a friend? Because it was such a phenomenon, wasn't it? At the time, I worked at Bliss, the teen mag, and I got that job right as the film was about to come out. And it really, you just couldn't escape it.
Yeah, suddenly. Well, it was, it came out a few days before my 14th birthday. And I watched the film. That's how it happened. I watched the film and then I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I have to know everything about it. And it began what has now become many years later, a very significant part of my personality, that I will latch on to something and give it everything. Like, it becomes me. And this has happened with books, with other books since, but this was the first one that did it. My parents will say that it switched me on. Genuinely, it's like my grades improved, my artwork improved, my writing improved. So I started writing as well when I was 14, all because of these books I was discovering then, and have continued writing and written several novels. I've not got one published, but I have one that I am hoping to do that with, that I've been working on specifically the last year.
Well, that's so exciting. Yes. Congratulations. Yes. And the number of authors I've interviewed, where I'll never forget, I think Beth O'Leary, who wrote The Flatshare, which I adored. She said, because The Flatshare did spectacularly well, and people would say, you know, how does it feel to have all this amazing success with your first novel? And she'd say, no, this is not my first novel. I think The Flatshare was like her fourth or fifth or maybe more. Yeah. And she's like, that's it, that you write until
it,
you know, you have that lightning strike moment. But it sounds like, you know, for you as well, it's the love of writing as well. Yeah. And that love of storytelling is so in your heart.
Oh, absolutely. It's my happy place. It's my escape from the world. It's absolute total relaxation. I feel like my brain isn't doing anything else but writing, but the act of writing isn't any effort, it's just coming out. And so I spend weekends doing that. I went on a writing retreat in Tuscany last year, which was incredible. And yeah, I have a novel now that's with readers, and I'm getting feedback, and it's all very exciting. But and I mean, I must say, Insatiable was one of the beginnings of my return to fiction as an adult. I read Insatiable, and I mean, I picked it up in Waterstones, and I wanted something sexy, I wanted something exciting, I wanted something about a woman, and I read the back of that, loved the cover, and that's what introduced me to you, obviously.
Oh, well, I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you so much. That makes me so happy. Mm. And yeah, because when I wrote it, I get that, you know, was my first novel, and I'd written nonfiction before. Mm. And it was so fun because, you know, and I'd always, you know, written stories and written things, but it was that feeling of having the stabilizers taken off your bike. Mm. And so often, especially with, you know, being a journalist as well, and everything I wrote, having to kind of say, well, here's an opinion I have, but I'm backing this up with this source and this person, and being, I suppose, almost mathematical, mm. and sometimes missing, you know, the freedom mm. of it. And then, you know, it really was kind of going downhill, going, oh, I'm allowed. Yeah. I'm allowed to just write, yeah. write this.
And I think that's definitely what you feel when you're reading it. And it was inspiring to read it because, I mean, I started writing the one I'm working on now in lockdown, as I'm sure so many people did. And it was this kind of escape from reality and this allowing this character to be totally free and to go to big parties and to go on lots of dates and to have lots of sexual experiences, that kind of thing that you just couldn't do in lockdown. And then reading Insatiable, it was like, oh my God, you can just create this character, this life, this freedom on the page that, I mean, I was scared about some of the things I was writing about, and then reading from someone else that's written something so intimate, maybe, and then it
filthy.
Yeah saucy yeah and yeah, I really really loved it. I mean, it really kick-started what's behind me or in a, as a adult fiction lover, because there was a gap between I've always read, but there was a gap between the obsessiveness of reading, and I definitely have the obsession back now in full force. And this was one of the first to bring that back. So, yeah. And I wanted to say as well, Limelight, I mean, I absolutely loved it. And I work in lingerie, so I'm a lingerie designer. So reading this kind of, it was very much about sort of body image and discovering how you can feel good. And then the way that she really obviously very struggled with the best way to do that for herself. But I really connected with it on that way. And then there's like the lingerie shoot and that kind of fear that she had. But then at the end, this amazing all women empowerment thing. I really loved it. And I just wanted to mention that.
I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you so much. And I'm fascinated that you're from that world.
Love it. Very different to books, but I can maintain the books and the writing in my home life and then go and design pants in my work life.
Oh, that has, I was going to say made my day. That might have made my year. That's the loveliest, loveliest thing I've heard. I'm so happy to have triggered this obsession. And look at these beautiful shelves.
Yes. Yeah,
there's
a lot.
And they're so gorgeously organised.
Yeah.
I will, because we're a podcast and we are
an
oral medium, I can see that I love the colour coding, like the yellow shelf and the orange shelf and the pink shelves. It's funny, isn't it? Because I was thinking about, you know, loving romance and there being possibly maybe more pink than anything else. Mm. But I don't mind that. When pink as a colour makes me happy.
Yes.
I don't feel sort of, you know, condescended to by a pink book.
I mean, I'm currently sat opposite my pink reading chair next to my pink kitchen. So pink for me is great, and I'm happy to have many a pink spine on my bookshelf. Although I feel that there is a lot of orange within the kind of novels that I go for. I mean, Insatiable is actually orange, isn't it? But there's a lot of the books I want is also orange, which is also a good colour.
Ooh, tell me, what's your other than Insatiable? Tell me about some orange books you love that are behind you.
Yeah, well, I mean, Talking at Night is one of them. Animal by Lisa Tadeo, incredible. I loved that. And again, it's one of those others that sparked something in me. And when that happens, I saw a word the other day. It's like, you're not a bookworm, you're a book dragon. And I just hoard all of the books and the knowledge and the pretty things. And definitely Animal, I have three copies of, because one's a trade paperback, one's a hardback, one's signed, one's a normal paperback. I if I love something, I want to have as much of it as possible. I mean, I have yours in hardback and paperback, which is another thing. Twilight, when I was obsessed as a teenager, I had 12 of the first book, which is should probably be an embarrassing thing to admit, but it's the truth.
I collect copies of a book called The Pursuit of Love by Nancy Mitford. It was on TV.
Yeah, I've got it here. I tried to arrange sort of what I had on my TBR, and that one is the second on the list, The Pursuit of Love. I've not read it.
I love it so much. And to be honest, I struggled a little bit with the TV version because I just didn't. I think it's always the case, isn't it? So, and especially it's different with Twilight, especially if you see the film first. But I read that book and I remember reading it because it was year 8, and our teacher said for sort of, you know, revision, and we were all nerds and grammar school girls and bothering him and saying, Mr. Daddy, what should we do? And it's like, just read a book, for the love of God, please read something, read anything, read something that you've never heard of. And I can't remember if my mum said, I think you'll love this, or if I found it on a shelf, but I remember reading it all in a day and having that delicious, thrilling sense of, oh, this is allowed. This book feels and looks really old-fashioned, but it's actually surprisingly modern. Mm. And it is about, it's a love story, and it's about a woman making mistakes at a time when it's really hard to be a woman making mistakes. And it's also me and my friend Lauren Bravo, who's a brilliant writer, who wrote a gorgeous book called Pre-Love, which is coming out in paperback the week of recording. Our favourite genre, we say, is posh but poor. A bit like, have you read I Capture the Castle?
Oh, no, I haven't. No, I've heard of it. I haven't read it.
That's our favourite genre. And there's a lot of that in The Pursuit of Love. But I think it's really funny as well. And it will make you cry.
Well, I do love a book that makes me cry. Yeah. Well, it was, I went to the Cheltenham Literature Festival last year, and it was one of five that I followed a bookseller around, and she just recommended me 5 titles, and that was one of them. So yeah, very, very excited to get on that one now.
What a treat. Mm. Can you remember what the others were? Have you read any?
So the others, what was it? The Mess We're In by Annie McManus, which is quite different, I think.
Oh, I really want to read that. Is that a novel?
Yes, yes. There were so many. I have too many books to keep
and
track.
And it's a lovely, literally a paper trail, isn't it? Because you find one and then it leads you to another one and guides you to another one.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
We'll be back with Kezia soon. But first, I'd like to tell you about Limelight, which is out now in paperback. It's the story of Frankie, a 29-year-old woman with 2 sides. By day, she's awkward. She feels too big, too tall, and not special enough. She lives in the shadow of her beautiful big sister Bean, who has a perfect family and a perfect life in Clapham. She's a peacemaker, trying to make sure Bean isn't bothered by their mother, Alison, a widow and a recovering stage mother with an overdeveloped sense of theatre. But by night, Frankie is an anonymous, glamorous temptress uploading explicit photos for her small community of online fans. It's a secret, but it's one that makes her feel confident and in control. However, when Bean is diagnosed with breast cancer and Alison forces Frankie to front a national charity campaign, Frankie is exposed and shamed. Enter celebrity feminist influencer Maz Clark, who wants to take Frankie under her wing and rebrand her. But what does Maz really want? And can Frankie find her way back to her family and herself? Limelight is a comedy about bodies, sisterhood, and all the complications of being a woman in the social media world. As Ellie Middleton said, if you loved America Ferrera's speech in Barbie, you'll love this book. It's published by Sphere and available everywhere. You can order a signed copy from the Margate Bookshop they deliver across the UK. I really hope you love it. Now back to Kezia. You mentioned lockdown, and I'm really, really interested in how that changed our reading habits. And I know it's a little while ago now, but I think of that time, that being a time when I was really interested in reading about parties because I couldn't go out and I couldn't go to anything. And I think that's when I read a book called Tales from the Colony Room by Darren Caulfield. And it's an oral history of everyone who used to hang out and go drinking with Francis Bacon and Lucian Freud at this notorious Soho, well, it's called the Colony Room, a drinking club. It's only known as Muriel's. And my husband ordered this book. It was an unbound book. It was an absolute giant doorstopper. And, you know, like you used to be, I think, I'm still intimidated by big books. And I just gorged myself silly on it over a weekend because it was so gossipy and fun, and it's non-fiction, but it felt like a really fun novel because it was. And what I love about an oral history as well is they are so gossipy and everyone's always contradicting each other.
Oh yes, I love that in a book when it's like whose side are you going to be on, because they're always contradicting each other. Yeah, I see that. I mean, in lockdown I did definitely get back into reading. I tried A Little Life, which I think was the wrong time. because I think I only got sort of 200 pages into that one and was a bit too sad for that time. I read a few novels, but I didn't read as much as I probably would do now. I just wrote all the time. But one that really sticks out that I read in lockdown was May We Be Forgiven by A.M. Holmes. I just adored that. It's like the following the midlife crisis of a 40-year-old man in America, and there was anything by her, brilliant. And I read a couple, I think one of her short story collections, and the other one is This Book Will Change Your Life or Save Your Life, which is the other one by her. So I was fully immersed in A.M. Holmes and just this sort of commentary on American life and adultery and marriage and cooking food in the kitchen, that kind of thing. So I really read a lot of that.
You've just reminded me of a book that I really, really enjoyed, and I'm going to see if I can Google it because I think it's called Monogamy.
Oh, yes. I bought that because your name was on the outside of it saying that you enjoyed it.
Oh, I am very glad that I am practicing what I'm preaching. Sue Miller, Monogamy. Yes. But yet that, this is the portrait of a marriage slowly falling apart and becoming unravelled, and the relationships between adult parents and adult children.
Yeah.
I think I might have read that in lockdown, but that had that feeling and it really made me tingle.
Yeah, I love that too. I read that I think last year on my way home from Ireland. My granddad has owned a bookshop for most of my life, which we always go and work in the summer. And he was always recommending us books, but it also means that when you go and visit him, all you do is sit in his lounge and read and then go to the pub in the evening. So I read a few books that holiday. One of them was Monogamy, which I really, really liked. Again, like you say, it's this commentary on marriage. The other one was At the Table by Claire Powell, loved that too, which is, I guess, a commentary on a contemporary family in like dysfunctional, but everyone's got their issues and it's all struggling to deal with it. And then Animals by Emma Jane Unsworth, that was this kind of freedom, party, getting drunk, friendships, messiness that was very different to these other two. But really, all three were really good.
I love Emma Jane Unsworth books. I think she's wonderful. Great. Like, tell me about the bookshop. What's it called?
It's called the Dingle Bookshop, is in Dingle in Ireland. They actually, I believe it was last year that they sold it, unfortunately. But they've had it for, most of my like teenagehood, adulthood. And it's this beautiful, the only bookshop in a small town. So everyone goes there. And I always used to help them with YA recommendations because they weren't sure on those, and we'd go and like organize the book displays. And my sister's a children's illustrator, so her books are always like pride of place at the back of the shop, always recommended to anybody that comes in. So we're a real bookish family and lots of writers as well, so it was a real sort of hub of the love of literature, I guess, and the most comforting place to be. I think bookshops are in general, but this one in particular, because it's like granddad's at the till.
That sounds really special. Your sister is an illustrator.
Yes.
Where can we find her books?
So she has three actually published books. One is called No Deer Around Here, and that's written by Andy Hussey, and then she is the illustrator Rosie Venner, and then she's got a second book with him, which is called Any Trout About. Yes, yeah. And they're brilliant. They're really, really great children's books about getting out in nature and discovering what's out there, really. And yeah, she's done very well.
Oh, they sound gorgeous. I got my niece for Christmas a book called The Great Dog Bottom Swap. And I did not expect my whole family to be in convulsions. So I think that for joy and fun to read more children's books,
yes,
and picture books,
yes,
because it's such great lessons and really clear communication and storytelling. I think they're the harder stories to tell, so I'll definitely be checking those out. Claiming they're for the small people in my life, but they'll probably be for
yes, for you as well.
And sort of in your family, and I guess it's, you know, it sounds like you all read and really know your books, and you know, when you've got a bookshop as well, and you sort of think, you know like sort of what the hot books are, but what are the best books that other family members have recommended to you? And what have you recommended to other family members that they've enjoyed the most?
So my sister and my aunt are like the two close people to me that both are big lovers of books, and we do gift each other books. My aunt, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that for a while I don't think I trusted her recommendations. And recently I have been thinking, oh, well, maybe I will read what she's given me. And she gave me Secret History and Heartburn. And both of them absolutely adored. So now anything that she gives me is definitely going to be straight to the front of the list. The other one she's given me is High Fidelity. I think she's trying to educate me with this sort of the well-known classic ones, and so that's next on the list.
I recently reread High Fidelity because I do reread books for comfort and for fun, and sometimes I think it really, really helps my writing as well. Like when I'm finding out sort of technique, like the first time I read something, I just want to know what the story is and how it ends. And it's when I reread that I really start to notice sort of technique and how books that feel almost sort of effortless as an experience, all the sort of the craft that goes into them. But I was really surprised with High Fidelity, which I think I might have read when I was a teenager and really loved. And I thought, oh, this is a really cool book about London and, you know, being single and, you know, sort of living a life and being really into music and having amazing taste. And then on the rereading, I thought, this is an incredibly sad, heartbreaking book.
Oh, no.
About a man who can't get it together, who's a massive nerd. But it's still very funny and very, very fun. And, you know, I think it's nice to watch him changing for the better in the book.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm ready to read it, definitely. I think something fun like that. But like I say, I like something that's emotional.
Have you read, and I'm sure you have, but I was listening to Catherine Newman on Penny Wince's podcast today, which I really enjoy, a book, I think it's called We All Want Impossible Things.
Oh, no, I haven't read that one. I didn't.
Oh, I think it's so far up your alley. I adored it. It's lovely. And also, I remember, again, really binging it and trying to slow down and not being able to slow down. But the heroine, her best friend is dying and in a hospice, but it's a comedy. It's a heartbreaking comedy. And Ash is being this amazing hub of, you know, welcoming love and helping at the hospice, more or less having an open house for everyone and being right there. But she's also dealing with her grief by just having quite a lot of sex with random people who work at the hospice. And I remember when it came out, everyone said, it's like Nora Ephron. And I sort of, which is very cynical, let me be the judge of that. Only Nora Ephron is Nora Ephron. And I read it and I thought, no, she is absolutely Nora Ephron's heir. This is amazing. I think it would be so, so the book
it
for you.
It definitely sounds like it. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Because it's sexy and funny and it will make you cry in a great way.
All the best things. Yes. Well, I'll add that one to the ever-growing list.
I know. It's not like your short of stuff to read. Very, very sadly, I think that this conversation has flown and I've loved talking to you about books, but I think we are drawing towards the end of our time. Would you like to recommend any books to me? Is there anything we've not talked about that you'd like to press into my hand, as it were?
I'm reading one at the moment, which at the beginning I didn't really know, I didn't really understand it, but now I'm halfway through, I think it's going to be a very important read. It's called What a Shame by Annie Bergstrom. It's tough in places, like really tough, and I've cried multiple times already, but I really like it. It feels very surreal yet incredibly real. It's like a strange balance, but yeah, I've been really enjoying that so far. And otherwise,
what an amazing combination. And I love hearing about sort of, you know, the books that's live at the moment. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so happy to have you here. And thank you for your kind words about Insatiable. And most of all, I am so excited about your writing journey as well as your reading journey. Yeah. And I think, you know, every single thing we read is fuel and we learn from it. Huge congratulations on the novels you've written so far. And I'm very excited about what 2024 and holds for you in your writing future.
Yes, me too. Thank you.
Huge thanks to Kezia for that wonderful conversation. My novel Limelight is published by Sphere and available from independent bookshops as well as Waterstones, Amazon and bookshop.org. Your Book is produced by Dale Shaw for New Alaska and created by Dale Shaw and me, Daisy Buchanan. You can find a list of all the books mentioned by Kezia on our show page, and you can shop a selection in our store at bookshop.org. You can find us and follow us on social media at YBooked. We'll be back in your ears later in the year with some brilliant guests, and I've got some very exciting announcements about some future books coming soon. See you soon.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.